É jogado por Simão, a passar por dois adversários, Simão a tentar oferecer o golo a Figo e a bola é gol! O golo da Figo!
Rui Costa vai, Rui Costa já acreditou, vai tirar para o golo, atira o golo! 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 Golo!
And welcome into episode 5 of the Seleção podcast. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you so much again for joining us for another episode. Thank you so much for downloading, for subscribing, for liking our Facebook page, for following us on Twitter and on Instagram. We've had a lot of fun these first few weeks of the podcast leading up to the World Cup. And ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last episode prior to Friday, June 15, the start of Portugal's World Cup first game versus Spain, Group B. I can't believe we're already here, yet I cannot wait. And I just, I'm just so excited to get this thing going in Russia 2018. Just, you know, a lot of expectations, a lot of excitement with this national team, and I just can't wait for what Friday will bring. I want to thank last week's guest, Mark Anthony Souza, once again for joining us. The previous episode, thought he did a great job, not only breaking down the Algeria game in Portugal's last tune-up, but also giving us some insight on his work with the Sacramento Republic FC out here in Sacramento for the USL. On today's episode, a very special episode, in my opinion. I've got three childhood friends of mine. We've grown up together. Nelson Azevedo, James Faria, and Steve Heda. We sat down and we just did a little roundtable of just some thoughts about this last song, where we were 2 years ago when we won the whole thing in France in Euro 2016. Our thoughts about this upcoming World Cup. My buddy James, just the character of all characters, and you guys will hear that in just a few moments. But it was just really awesome to have those guys who I've grown up with, and the amount of games that we've seen with the Seleção on the field. It was just very cool to have those guys step in studio with me and sit down for a little bit. After you hear the interview, I will give you guys my prediction for the Spain game, as well as what I think will be the starting 11. And I would love to hear what you guys think the starting 11 will be and your predictions for the Spain matchup on Friday, June the 15th. But without further ado, here is the roundtable. And as promised, we have our World Cup preview, our roundtable discussion, if you will. I am joined by three childhood buddies of mine. We have Steve Ferreira, James Faria, and Nelson Azevedo, joining me in the palatial Seleção podcast studios here in Sacramento, California. Boys,
hello.
So, it's almost World Cup time.
Boa noite.
Very comfortable in here.
Is it?
Palatial, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like there's no echo. Well, boys, obviously we're here to talk Seleção football. Obviously one of our, is the Portuguese national team for you guys like your number one in terms of all sports teams of all time?
It's a tough one. Them or the 49ers. I go back and forth because I watch more football than Portuguese national soccer year-round.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a close one and two.
James, what about you, buddy?
In terms of national team, I'd have to say the Seleção would definitely be the favorite, the most exciting, the most passionate team you could watch. And it's given me the most joy of any team I've covered or followed. So I'd say Seleção's there, and then Benfica's a close second.
Very nice. Steve, what about you?
I would go with number one, yeah, followed closely by the Kings. However, I know what it's like for Portugal to win something.
Not so much the Kings.
I'll let you know when the Kings win.
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings have disappointed all of us in some way, shape, or form. All right, boys, before we start with our preview of the World Cup, let's go back 2 years. Summer of 2016. Quite the summer for us as fans of the Seleção. I've talked with Michael Teixeira, and I've talked with Jimmy Enge in our first couple episodes. Just the feeling that that summer brought to us, and that day, July 10, 2016, when we beat France in France in Euro 2016 to finally bring us that long-awaited trophy. Steve, I'll start with you, bud. Where were you? What was your feeling? Are you over it yet? Just tell me a little bit about what that day was for you, and we'll go around the room here.
Yeah, so James was talking about the most joy earlier. That was definitely the most joy. Also coupled with the worst feeling ever, because I was flying to Disneyland. So Disneyland was, we obviously planned that trip far in advance. Then it turned out Portugal was playing in the final on that day. So we took off as the plane, or as the game was starting, right when the game started, we took off. So I couldn't get Wi-Fi on the plane.
Can I ask, before you continue, where are your priorities?
Yeah. I struggled with this, believe me. So we're on the plane, couldn't get Wi-Fi, a very short flight. We land, and I check the phone, and the first thing I see is that Ronaldo was injured, like, early
yeah,
on.
Yeah, about 25 minutes in.
So we go into the airport, and we're hanging out in the airport for a second, waiting for a rental car. And I was like, I go in there thinking, like, oh, this is, that's it, obviously. So I go in there, and I'm like, oh, they're hanging in. We get in the rental car. And my wife, Amber, pulls it up on the iPad, so it's playing as we're driving to where we're going to stay. And then I was driving, which was not that good of an idea, because soon after that, then Eder scored his goal. And then soon after that, the whistle blew, and I'm on the freeway, like, trying to hold it together, not to kill my family, you know, holding back tears and all that stuff. And then we made it. It was great. Great trip as a result.
And you enjoyed a good day of soccer and enjoyed the greatest.
It would have been the worst family trip of all time.
Would you have been
they would have lost.
Would you have been sulking the entire time?
It would have been the worst. But instead it was the best, thank goodness.
Hi, let's go to Magic Mountain. Okay.
No, whatever.
James, what about you, buddy?
My ass.
Primeiro queria dizer boa noite a todos. Muito obrigado por ter-me aqui no programa. Também queria desejar muitas felicidades e uns parabéns para ter um grande podcast aqui em Sacramento.
Obrigado, bud.
Agora para inglês. Well, my best memory of Portugal, of course, the best moment was us winning the Euro Cup. I happened to be at Nelson's house. There's lots of tears, lots of embracement. It was actually the greatest feeling I've ever felt, besides, I guess, watching my child be born. And that's pretty, actually, yeah, it's the second. Watching my child be born is the
Let's
best.
Call it 1A.
And then 1A. And then that's the second. That feeling's hard to describe. I had never had, like, a team that I really, like Sacramento Kings, I've never really felt them get that far. And then us winning that was just so big. And I think we deserved it. And we had been getting close a couple years, a good straight runs. Some years better than others. But I felt like that was just amazing. And, you know, they toughed it out. And they made they got the results when they counted.
Nelson, James said he was at your house.
He was.
This is true. And what is your feeling? What was your feeling?
My feeling was pretty close to what James felt. It was by far the best sporting moment of my life. Like I said before, huge Niner fan too, but let's face it, man. We haven't won a Super Bowl since we were 14 years old, so...
It's been a while. We're old now.
Yeah. So, you know, it was one of those feelings like you watching the Bee Gees video where you walk around with your head high and just strut, man. Like, I felt for the last 2 years, when it comes to soccer, I don't care if you're German, Brazil, whatever. If you come up to me, I'm like, yeah, that's cute and all, but we're the current best team in the world. So that's maybe going a little bit overboard, but that's kind of the feeling that I still walk around with. Hopefully we can continue after the World Cup. That would be just unreal. I think the Euro Cup's a big deal. But, you know, the World Cup, I can't even...
It's the biggest.
Well, of course it's the biggest.
No, I'm talking about the Euro Cup. Euro Cup is the biggest to me, anyways.
Maybe. After the
maybe
World
Cup? Maybe I'm biased, but after the World Cup, I'd say it's a most important tournament.
In terms of quality of play... You could exactly. arguably say that the Euro is a bigger tournament or a tougher tournament to win just because the majority of the bigger teams are in
or in Europe.
Totally. But, yeah. 100%. Yeah. But it just, it's not that big, solid gold trophy that.
No. You know,
it's not the trophy. Yeah.
No. No.
It's a pretty good one, though.
Before Portugal won the Euro trophy, did anyone remember what the Euro trophy looked like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you okay?
You guys, I do not.
See? It's highly evident. I did not.
No. Yeah. No. See, but that's the thing. It's like everybody.
I couldn't imagine it in my brain.
Everybody knows that World Cup trophy. So that to is, yeah, so exactly. To Steve's point, it's number one. So. It is made of gold.
One of them got stolen. The first one, there's been two of them.
Okay.
The first one was stolen in Brazil, and I'm not sure if that's the reason why they have the new one. I think they were like retiring the first one, and like putting it in a museum or something. Jean Remy, I forgot what it's called. Anyways, that's why they have the current one how it is. The other one got stolen in Brazil.
Folks, you're not going to get this anywhere else. I'm telling you right now.
Breaking news.
You're listening to episode 5 of the Seleção podcast. This is our World Cup preview, joined by my good friends Steve Freda, James Faria, and Nelson Azevedo. I am your host, Danny Pinto. Obviously, 2016 meant a lot to all four of us. I mean, in the four of us, in some way, shape, or form, we've watched games together our entire lives. We at some point have seen games together at each other's houses. Nelson, you've been fortunate enough to be in Europe for Euro 2004, mm-hmm. When Portugal hosted.
I did.
Prior to 2016, what would you guys say was your favorite moment as a fan of the Seleção?
Well, I mean, you just hit on it for me. I happen to be fortunate enough to be at the Portugal v. England game. Definitely a nail-biter. I can't even put into words from the beginning when the teams marched out. Even before that, when they were just warming up, it felt surreal to be in Stade de Luge watching all that. Then when the national anthem started playing, you get choked up. Then you're chanting, yelling, screaming the entire game. Fortunate enough to sit behind the goal that the PKs were shot on. And it was like a freaking nuclear bomb went off when the game was over, man. It was just unreal. I mean, from marching out of the stadium onto the metro, trying to get anywhere in that city, it was like nothing else mattered in the world. It was just green and red, waving everywhere. Chance of, Portugal, Forza, this, that, the other. It was unreal.
And a bunch of
bitter English fans. Bitter.
Oh, we finally got them back for 1966.
just like in the most recent Euro.
Yeah, right.
They never lost their bitterness.
James, what about you, bud?
Well, that whole Euro, I actually was in Nos Açores, Pico. Madalena, I was watching the game there. So that was just amazing, just being in Portugal and experiencing, especially that year, Philippe Scolari, mm-hmm. being the coach. He really pushed a pride for the national team that I guess previous years hadn't been shared so much. There's a big campaign for everyone to show the colors through the windows. And even in Os Açores, you'd see as bandeiras a voar. And I felt like that was just amazing feeling, even every time Portugal would keep winning and just going into, downtown, centro da Vila, not really a downtown, but centro da Vila, the Madalena do Pique would always be nice. And it was just a camaraderie instead of having, if you're ever there in the winter and, they have Sporting playing against Benfica, you always have, this was just everyone together. So it was really nice to feel that.
I'm not sure what year that was when I was talking about earlier, Portugal beating England in penalty kicks.
That would have been, that was 2004.
Minus 04, but no, there was another.
Was that 06? Was that in the World Cup?
I don't remember. I remember watching that at my house, but I don't remember.
It was
a World Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one. There's been a lot of them. And when did João Pinto punch the referee?
2002.
Wasn't it against the United States?
No, that was Korea. It was 2002 Korea. Against South Korea.
We needed to win.
No, I think Portugal. All we needed was a draw.
Was a draw exactly. After that Korea scored
that disastrous start against the U.S. where the U.S. was up.
The worst.
Was it? Was it 3-0?
Portugal. They crushed them.
It was 3-0.
Vitor Villa and Franco.
Yeah.
They crossed the ball. Donovan crossed the ball without meaning to cross it. Well, he meant to cross it.
Was Donovan on the
team? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Landon Donovan meant to cross it, and it turned out to be like a weird shot towards the corner of the near post, and Bahia goes to block it. It hits off his hand. It into the net. I was so pissed.
It was 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I think I remember calling you at halftime, James, and I'm just like, what is going on? One, you were awake, thank God, because it was like 3 a.m. because that entire World Cup was a bit tough on the old sleep schedule.
This one's going to be one, actually.
Oh, was that the Korea one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
2 a.m. games.
Yeah.
That's why I don't wear soccer jerseys or Portugal jerseys during Wales-Leslam plays anymore.
Superstition.
Yes.
Oh, no.
That's one superstition I do have.
It's like, because when the Pete punched the ref?
Well, just every time I wear the jersey. Because
the way that went.
Every time I wear the jersey, they seem to lose. I'm just like, well, I don't wear this jersey when they play.
And
I
yet,
put it on.
And yet you dare to wear a jersey.
I take the jersey off, cuecas and everything, during the game, because that brings good luck, and then push the joke.
So no matter
where he is.
He did not do this at my house for the final.
Just to be clear. 2 years
ago. Not that I know about it.
I was in the backyard. Actually, some of the preliminary games that we had watched, we celebrated in your backyard.
You did.
Fish de Jay Moint.
Yeah, anyways, Jean Pint punching the... Don't mess with Jean Pint. That's the...
Obviously. Well, Pep headbutting a German's not the best neither. So we'll see if Sergio Ramos doesn't pick on Pep or vice versa, and then both get into something.
No, we need Pep to keep his head.
Actually, sure. Sergio Ramos might go after Ronaldo now that he wants to leave Real Madrid. Aí dá uma castada nas canelas.
Well, we will see. But there's plenty of security, I guess you can call it, on the Portugal squad.
Leo Juvenino vai ir aí dar umas pancadas. Se eles não marcarem, isto é o Bruno de Carvalho. Se a seleção não marcar, todos do Sporting vão levar castadas lá em Lisboa. Podes crer.
Well, eu posso crer. For me, I guess like my favorite seleção moment, I think, and it wasn't even in a World Cup, it was, I believe it was for a World Cup qualifier. The Portugal-Sweden game, I think it was World Cup qualifier. Where Ronaldo,
that's the
Ronaldo's Latin game.
Yes, playoff. That was qualifying.
It was a playoff. Yeah. Where Ronaldo went and got the hat trick, and Zlatan, I think, had two goals that game too. But that for me, I think that for me was because I think there was a lot of criticism towards Ronaldo at that point, rightly or wrongly, from both people outside of Portugal and maybe even fans of the Seleção too, where he hadn't had a signature game, kind of didn't put his team on his back.
Oh, that's true, and he did that.
And he did that in Sweden, no less. And did
that was a do-or-die situation.
Yeah. For sure. And then, like, almost right up there, and it's kind of a bittersweet moment, it was, weirdly enough, the third-place game when we lost to Germany in 2006, where we knew that it was Fieg's last game.
Yeah,
fourth. And he still had just a money dime to Nuno Gomes, even though we lost that game, finished in fourth place. Just that guy was just pure class all the way, and it was, bittersweet.
That was a sweet team.
I mean, Ronaldo by far is the best player of all time in Portuguese history, but Luis Figue is number one.
What about when he scored that goal against England?
Oh, yeah.
To beat him, I'm pretty sure what seems just a hair past midfield.
Yeah, I think it was like from like 35. It was like 35 yards. Boom. Yeah, David Seaman just looked at the ball go in the net, and I'm like, oh, that's good. I think we may have been down 2-0 in that game and came back to win 3-2.
I believe that is correct.
Well, and a lot of people forget, man, if you look at some videos of Luis Figue as like a young lad, the dude could, everyone thinks Ronaldo's the only fancy-footed Portuguese player that we've ever had. Luis Figue
dribbling was his thing.
Real, dude.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Figue could dance, baby. You could dance. You're listening to episode 5 of the Seleção podcast. We are doing our World Cup preview here, joined by my friends Nelson Azevedo, James Faria, and Steve Freda. Boys, let's talk about 2018. We by the time this podcast airs and is posted, we will be just a few days away from Portugal's game against Spain, Friday, June 15. Let's talk about expectations from you guys personally. What would constitute for you guys a successful minus, obviously, because we all want them to win, and obviously that's the ultimate success. But you guys go ahead and tell me what would constitute success for you guys. How deep of a run do you think it would be for a successful run for Portugal, in your opinion?
Well, considering what happened 2 years ago, I mean. That's pretty tough because it's got to be
at least the final for me, and a good showing in the final. And, you know, like you said, everybody wants to win, but European champions coming in. And that, you know, I'm extremely biased, but not to the point where I'm like, yeah, they're the favorite to win or something like that. They're not the favorite to win, nor should they be, but I don't think they get enough respect. They don't get enough respect. That's it. So teams like that tend to have that underdog mentality and kind of, I don't know. We'll see if they come through. Hopefully they do. But I would say I'm not going to be happy if they don't make the final.
James?
And I know that's a tall order.
Well, I think, of course, they got to get out of the group. That's obviously a mandatory step one. I think Ferdinand Sanchez's strategy of and what he has to use on the field, I believe, and the attack, he has many options. Ronaldo's not putting him away like he should. He has other options, other people to play off of him. Bernardo Silva is going to play very well. André Silva is also showing really well with the Seleção, scoring at a good rate. And then you got these other youngsters on the bench, Guedes, and even we saw Sporting's young player, Bruno Fernandes, show that he can also score. That was actually his first pro header in all his career. It was the first time he ever scored by head.
It's a good moment. Not a bad guy to get an assist from either, right?
Exactly. To get an assist from Bruno. But, yeah, then I feel they got to get out of the group. They also have to feel semifinals. Is got to be, you know, if they get to the semifinals, I feel that represents them well. And then I think anything's possible once they get to the semifinals, that they can get the results. We showed they can gut it out, they can close down, and then create chances as well. So that's, and then win the final. Ganhar isto tudo, vamos ganhar, filhos da mãe.
Nelson, what about you?
I'm kind of with James. I mean, taking a step back and just being realistic. And because I try to look at it 10 years down the road from now. Because obviously right now, coming off the high of 2016, current European Cup champions, like Steve said, we don't get enough credit. Period, end of story. We don't get enough credit. I personally won't be happy with anything less than a victory. And I'm talking the whole damn thing. Now, talk to me in 10 years. I think if we make the semifinal, because, hey, man, Germany's got a great team. I think this is going to be one of the better Brazilian teams we've seen in years, because let's face it, for a long time, not to offend any Brazilian listeners, but they've lived off of their reputation, because I don't feel they've had a very strong team for a long time now. You got Messi in Argentina. You got France. You got Spain. I mean, there's a lot of quality teams this year in the World Cup. I think if we make the semifinal, that's a great showing. But that said, I think we need to take the same approach we took 2 years ago, and this sounds super simplistic, but if we don't lose a game and just keep playing with that mentality, whether it be in full-time, extra time, or PKs, if we don't lose, we'll be hoisting the trophy at the end of the tournament. And that, anything less than that, in the moment, I'm not going to be happy with.
Did anybody care 2 years ago that we quote-unquote won ugly?
No.
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
And yet there's, I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons why we don't see Portugal as one of the top four, top five, top six.
They're not smashing people.
Yeah, I mean, but like the folks in the media, you know, ESPN and Fox and even
Alexi Lawless.
Well, let's go. Okay, you know what? There was a mandate to never mention that dude's name on this show, and you just broke it.
I'm sorry.
I mean, they're, in a way, I like it because it's still, people still don't believe that 2016 was a.
I think he was lucky.
Lucky. Let them, you know what?
You need luck to win, though, in all these tournaments.
Absolutely.
You don't have that on your side.
And you do, of course, but I wouldn't
say. You create your luck.
It was nerve-wracking.
It was nerve-wracking. It was absolutely nerve-wracking.
In the beginning of the tournament, it's like, oh.
But, geez. I mean, I still, and that goes back to the disrespect. I feel like people feel like, oh, they just got lucky. Really, we got lucky through qualifiers and through quarterfinals. And we got lucky the entire damn time. No, I'm guessing we did a few things right to get to where we got. And then lose our best player with damn near the whole game to go and still pull it off in the final? Yeah, come on.
Not only in the final,
In France.
Yeah.
Who were heavily favored.
Yeah.
I mean, they pulled what I like to call a Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. It was the same coach.
I don't like to call it
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't like to call
same
it.
Same coach.
But no, Fernand Sanch wasn't the coach of Greece when they beat us.
No.
No. Let's, you know, we'll have to check the record books on that one, James. But we shall see. You shaking your head, yes, I think you're wrong, but we will move on. But let's talk about that coach. Yeah, let's use the interrupt. Let's talk about that coach, Fernand Sanch. And you mentioned the guy, Scolari, when we had our run in 2004 and 2006. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not in Portugal, but we can see that there is a difference with this guy being the coach. You know, we didn't see it with Paul Bent. We didn't see it with Carlos Queiroz. We haven't seen it since Scolari. This team seems to be what it is, a team. There's a belief in what he wants to do. There's a belief in the way he goes about it. And I'll never forget when he, I believe it was in during group play, which it could have been maybe after the second draw, where he said, I made my plane reservations to come home on July 11th, which was the day after the final. And you know what? Again, luck, skill, whatever it was, it wasn't boastful, it wasn't arrogance, it was just he had a belief in his guys.
Confidence.
And I think now with the team, in my opinion, being more talented now than it was 2 years ago, I think that can only serve us well, especially with the way that he likes to play, which is, yeah, he doesn't like to let anybody score. And now with the firepower that they have up front, like you mentioned, James, I think that this Portugal team could go very far, and I tend to agree with you, James, and with you, Nelson. I think a semifinal would be, for me, a minimum to say, yes, this was a successful run. But, Steve, I'm with you.
Yeah, man.
I think a semifinal will please the media, and they'll make the British guys be like, oh, yeah, they did, you know.
No,
they
got I won't to the make sem- the British guys do that.
Like, we got, guys, they no. got to the semifinal. They're doing all right. They're doing all right. This Portugal team.
They'll do something like that. What the hell has England done in recent years?
That's why they're like that, dude.
Nothing.
Exactly. Oh, they look a little better this year.
England, I think, might have a solid run.
This year, I don't know the best team. I think at least young with youth, yeah. They look pretty good.
I'm not sure they can make a deep run, but I think they do a knockout run. Maybe quarterfinals, but... I don't know, man. There's a feeling, and I don't know, man. It's Ronaldo being, even though he's older, I think he has firm 100% control of his game better now than he ever has. And I know that he's a better player in terms of pure class, maybe a few years ago, but in terms of what Fernand Sanch wants to do, in terms of what he's asked to do for the team, and obviously what they did for 100 minutes. Without him in that final, now with a more talented team, to me, the sky's the limit in this World Cup for the possibility of Portugal could raise that trophy. Now, is it likely? No. But after three draws, I didn't think it was likely that they'd win the Euro 2 years ago. So
I think we're more confident, and then we're just a little bit more, I don't know. For right now, we're a little bit calm. We're just like, yeah we got this.
They're already.
I think during the Euro, you kind of went in. I mean, I get pumped for any time the national team is going to play in the Euro Cup or the World Cup. I think it wasn't until maybe the game against Wales that I started thinking, you know, this is a possibility that we might win this damn thing. You know, I guess going in, we were probably better going in 2 years ago because the expectations weren't as high.
Yes.
But I'm with you, Danny. I think we have a much stronger team. I don't want to overdo it, but the players that are left that were left out were replaced by much more youthful. Most of them are attacking players, but I think that's what we've kind of been lacking anyway. Yeah,
we've had one guy.
What? Strike Pauleta.
Pauleta.
Well, natural striker. Well, I mean, natural striker. I mean, yeah. And I think with Ronaldo getting as much of the attention that he's going to get, it opens up a lot of room for these youngsters to come in and get their goals, you know. So, yeah, expectations are high, man. And, yeah, so what were the underdogs? So was Rocky Balboa against Ivan Drago, man.
Listen to this. Listen to this. If he dies, he dies. But you know what? If I can change and you can change,
we can win the World Cup.
Yeah, right.
You're listening to the World Cup preview here on the Slesong Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Pinto, joined by my buddies, Steve, James, and Nelson. Before we go into the tournament in terms of specifics with players and matchups, does winning the Euro 2 years ago, is your approach or your expectation or what you want out of this tournament change simply because now we've won a title with the European Championship? Had we not won, do you think your approach to winning or to wanting to win, or if
are you it talking doesn't about their approach
to wanting to win?
No.
I want to win this thing.
Us as fans, like, is there a?
Well, if it wouldn't have happened that way, it would have been like what you were saying, Nelson.
Expectations are lower,
right? Yeah. About the Euro, so that would be more similar. How are you thinking about this one?
Well, because if let's say we didn't win the Euro 2 years ago. Ronaldo's now 33, heading into quite possibly his last World Cup. Yeah. So is the need, is the want, is the hope like even more drastic because we wouldn't have had anything in our back pocket like we now have with that 2016 title? Is that in your expectation, or not even your expectation, but just like if they win, great. If not, we have 2016.
No, I think it's even for me personally. I think it's even more so now. Just to shut the critics up, because I think
this is the crown jewel right here.
Oh my God! Because
Ronaldo wins this, he's up there.
He's the best human of all time.
Records-wise, goals-wise, in
all
club.
Honesty, I mean, it would be a nice just middle finger to all the those who just because I mean, we all remember the interviews after after the Euro final, it was like, oh yeah, this was great, but it really wasn't. This was the worst soccer I've ever seen. And it's kind of a slap in the face to everybody that, hey man, we actually do know what we're doing. And just a quick side note, we're actually pretty good at sports that involve a soccer ball. We're the current futsal champions.
Tell
we're the current beach soccer champions.
Tell them!
And the current European football champions.
These are thoughts now.
We kind of know what we're doing. I'm sounding, a little arrogant right now, but
facts are facts, man.
Yeah, man. It would just be nice to get the respect I feel that we've deserved for a long time. Going back to 2004, which I think was the best team Portugal's ever had. I think it was a shame that team didn't win that Euro Cup, because I think player for player, we were just stacked back then. And I think since then, we've had good soccer teams, and it would be nice to just...
Man, I think this one's pretty good, though. I think this is a deep team.
It is a deep team.
Like, they're not... I mean, obviously... Well, a lot of them were there for the Euro.
I'm talking the Euro.
13, 14 players coming back from 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Those guys were legends, though, that you're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, you had... I mean, you had Ronaldo in his youth. You had Rui Costa. You had Deck. You had Figo.
Yeah.
But, hey, I see a lot of potential in these new young
guys
coming up.
Yeah. I think they're already a very good team.
Yeah.
And then I think Ronaldo's still right there to be the dude that takes them.
Oh, Ronaldo! Ronaldo's better at 33 than Luis Figo was at 33.
Yeah.
To lead the team, like, not even close, you know?
I mean,
Ronaldo, this half since the beginning of 2018, his per goal ratio, it's been the best ever in his per game, but I mean, it's at least the last second half of the 2018.
And yet he's struggling.
Yeah, they somewhat. Say he's struggled. He struggled at the beginning of the year, but
that's fine. So funny. Like,
it's like he's 33. He puts it away.
Goal
in half a game, and he's struggling.
Same thing for Messi.
Yeah, well, you know what?
They're even worse on him, I think.
Steve, that is a wonderful segue, because I have a note here that's to talk about this. So ESPN FC, their soccer department for ESPN, came out with the top 50 players to watch in the World Cup. 50 players, only one guy from our team, of course, José Font. but Ronaldo made the top 50. He is in the top 5. Let me give
Ronaldo
you guys.
Ronaldo Silva's not in the top 50.
You know what? I was thinking if there's going to be anybody else in the top 50.
Manchester City's
own. But
he hasn't done that much there.
So there's Diaz.
So the top five are Crack. The top five were Harry Kane at 5 from England, Kevin De Bruyne from Belgium at 4, Neymar at 3, and then that leaves the two greatest going on right now. How do you guys think? Have you guys seen the rankings?
I have not.
Okay, how do you think it went, 1 and 2?
I'm Ronaldo's 2.
What do you think?
Messi's 1.
Cristiano Ronaldo primeiro.
It's a tough one, because I think you get politics that go in there, because I think everyone in the media loves Messi more because he's quiet, he's got the wholesome little boy.
He's attitude. A little guy.
Well, I mean, and it's not even his size. He's just quiet. He doesn't... You know,
they're very different.
Ronaldo is good, and he's not afraid to tell you he's good. And he's flash and all of that. And I think the media just paints him as an evil villain. And to answer your question, I'm going to go Messi, number one, and Ronaldo, two. Although I think, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, it's so close. My ultimate dream would be to see those two play in the final against each other. And just finally see this argument put to rest, with obviously Ronaldo coming out on top.
That would be nice. But,
I don't know. They'd still find a way in the media to be like, Messi had no help this year. Mascherano was old. You know, their defense is.
Listen,
what is this, LeBron James? We have no LeBron James talk here. No help.
Yeah. Well, looking at the top 50 list, it was Ronaldo 2 and Messi 1.
It's fine, even though. Lionel Messi lost 2 super
nice tournaments,
Copa Americas, 2 years in a row.
Penalties
to Chile,
and then bailed on his team afterwards for a quick moment and retired from international soccer.
He did do that after he lost the second one.
He's
back to back.
He still has not won a major tournament.
He won Olympics in under 21.
I love a gold medal like anybody else. In soccer, gold medals don't mean anything.
Dude, Michael Phelps has like infinity of those.
Man. We should get him. We should see if Michael Phelps has any Portuguese citizenship. That'd be pretty dope. But the reason why I bring it up is. At this point in their careers, is the argument about who's better, Messi or Ronaldo, is that even a productive argument to have anymore?
No, because those who choose their sides won't waver one way or the other. Because it goes a lot further than just pure soccer skill and what they do on the field. Those who love Messi absolutely despise and hate Ronaldo, and vice versa. And I'm talking from grown adults to my 9-year-old son, you know, actually just turned 10. Whoops. But yeah.
In a whole year of 9.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it's just, no, I think it's pointless. I think you could have both teams playing in the final. You could have it to where it's 0-0. One of them scores the game winner and it still is not going to make a difference.
I appreciate both players.
Me too.
I love watching Messi dribble it from half the field and make, you know, a couple guys look silly.
The one thing we know for sure is they're the two best players that there ever was, I think.
Play together? There's never been a race like this.
No.
Where two guys are going 50 goals a year or 40 goals a year plus back.
They're the
to
best
back,
ever.
To back yeah. to back.
They're the best players ever. And I
imagine if Ronaldo had gotten hormones when he was 16. Fourth of all.
I mean, his thighs are just unbelievable now. With some little bit of hormone, I mean, that might be unfair.
It's unfair already. You can't say who's better. You can't. I mean, no, that's how I feel about it.
They're
like,
too different.
They're both just so unbelievable. Yeah. They just do this. Like you said, they score at a rate that no one has.
Neymar's set up to take the spot of these two, but at least in terms of putting away goals numbers. I don't think he's even close. I don't think he's going to get close. He is going to pass up Pele though for goals for the national team.
He's
26.
He's 20. No, but he's 26, and he's I think maybe
20 goals away.
Yeah, something like that. So he'll have plenty of time, but
he'll get that record.
Yeah, but that's a record that he'll break, and you will never convince me that he will ever be better than Pele.
Like in terms of like European goals, I don't think he'll.
Pele's hoisted this trophy we're talking about here 3 different times.
Yeah, that's
Neymar's never.
That's quite good.
I don't know that there's another player that's ever going to do that. Actually,
that's impressive
true.
One.
Yeah. Well, Ronaldo's going to go on quite a run. You heard it here first. When he's 43, it's
going to
be amazing.
Left. I heard he's in 66 in England they forced Pele to leave the World Cup.
I don't know.
I heard that in the radio the other day. And
was that the one he was in?
And they were back then. They were double the castanas.
Well, all of them, man.
Jogavam com bolas de cabedal. Essas bolas plásticas que tem agora.
That's another breaking news item right here on the show. All right, guys. Well, let's talk about now the group and what we think coming up, especially with the first game going up against Spain. Obviously, the toughest game on paper for the Slesong. But I think that we wouldn't be doing our justice to a team like Morocco. And we had a pre-show meeting with the guys here, and Morocco's been on such a run, and they have Iran in their first game, and depending on how, you know, the Portugal Spain game goes, you could be looking at Morocco in the second game with 3 points, and you might be looking at Portugal with either one or none, because
three-ish.
Of course, you shouldn't get it. Listen, it's a given. Portugal's going to get 9 points in this group.
It's on its swing eyes.
But what do you guys think of the group? And we'll get into the roster here. What do you guys think of this roster? Strengths, weaknesses you guys see with the 23-man squad that Fidel Sanchez taken to Russia.
Right now, I feel like the weakest point is Centrage, you know.
Yeah.
It's the only thing criticism I can make right now. I saw a little bit of the warm-ups. I saw the whole Argelia game. So I saw Font play extended minutes. He looked fine. Argelia didn't really attack that much. They did get a couple of shots off. But it's going to probably be Font and Pep in the middle. Gerrit, Cedric is in the back. And I like how Gerrit likes to go up the left side and likes to get up and across more than Cedric does. And then William Carvalho and João Moutinho. They have William Carvalho supposed to be the more defensive, but against Argelia, João Moutinho was running like a 20-year-old. He won so many balls in the midfield and put on pressure, and that allowed actually William to make some nice passes, which led to a goal. On the wings, what did I say? We're going with Bernardo Silva on the right. And Shakira, I think it's going to be João Mário. And then up top is going to be Ronaldo and André Silva. Não sei se falhou mais um.
No.
That's it.
Oh, and Patrício na baliza. Yeah, of course. Yeah, and Espanha is going to be a tough match. I think we can get a win. It'll be nice to give it to them in this stage. They deserve it. Merecing Vlad.
Before Nelson or Steve here, do you think Bernardo Silva is...
wing or the center?
Is the next player for Portugal in terms of the quote unquote star out of the group?
Right now, yeah. About in terms of skill wise, yeah, yes, I think he will be the next. Maybe I don't know if he has that personality like Ronaldo does. To
not many people
to
do.
Be that could be Bruma.
Bruma, wow, that's oh my god. Let's turn back the clock on that.
Hey, Bruma, after this, he might get called up after when Ronaldo retires. Watch Bruma. Steve, he had a good year in Turkey, by the way.
Steve, what about you, bud?
I don't know. Yeah, Morocco's been on a tear, but I think we'll...
They're due to lose.
They're due, yeah, but I don't statistics know. Iran, I would say, is the
Já vou para Las Vegas pôr apostas contra tudo de jogos de Marrocos. O se fala mais de tudo. Não ter água.
I don't know. Iran's probably the weakest, right?
Yeah, I think they're the weakest, but they're defensively. Portugal beat them 1-0 last. They lose 1-0 a lot.
I don't know I don't know. Maybe Morocco smokes Iran. What's that going to tell us? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it could be a. I think it's a big deal only because you may be looking at a matchup where you are looking at a team that you're now behind. Because let's not kid ourselves. Spain is one of the favorites, but they also crashed out 2 years ago and 4 years ago, whatever it was, in the World Cup 4 years ago. So you never know, and you know what?
You never know.
Anybody could crash out. So
Portugal could go up against Morocco on, you know, if they're on a bad day, Morocco's on a good day. That's going to end bad.
Oh sure, absolutely.
So, Quaresma do Campo, Trivela, Gulu. Mais nada.
After the first games, I think we'll have a better idea, a better feel for it.
What do you think roster wise? What do you like? What don't you like?
Well, I don't really disagree with anything. You know, they left off some pretty high profile guys. Those two guys that play for Barcelona.
André Gomes and Nelson
Smith. They had a bad year at Barcelona.
And Neves, they left off.
Ruben Neves.
But yeah. I don't know. I still feel pretty good about this team. I mean, from top to bottom. Like I said earlier, they seems like this is a pretty deep team, based on the talent. So I don't know. I feel pretty good about it, I think.
As far as the group goes, I think, and I'm not saying it should be a cakewalk, but I think Portugal and Spain should definitely advance. I could easily see a 0-0 tie in the first game between Portugal and Spain. I could see them just kind of feeling each other out, not wanting to risk too much and give up a stupid goal and find themselves, you know, with 0 points. So I could see them both just playing extremely safe, knowing, hey, if we get a tie here, no big deal. We just take care of business in the next two games and we advance. But again, you know, you never know. But that's kind of how I see it going. As far as the lineup goes, I'm perfectly fine with it, actually. The only thing I do worry about a little bit is in the middle. I think William doesn't get enough credit. He's not super sexy to watch play or anything. He's just very, very simple. But you could count on two fingers how many times the guy loses the ball during the game, you know. I think if he was to go down, you know, who do they bring in to replace him? And I say down, I mean, if he gets in card trouble or, you know, gets a stupid injury.
They take
the bus
to the game as a team.
Yeah. I think that would give us some worry there. But no, I'm perfectly fine with the lineup. I think we got a very deep bench. Yeah. Other than, you know, somebody to replace in the midfield there. I do think our center defenders are a little bit weak. I think that's our weakness if we had to pick one. I think Pep is actually going to have himself a hell of a World Cup, just the feeling I have, I guess. And then either Bruno Alves or Font just kind of need to do their job and be role players. And I think we'll be fine. If we don't get out of the stage, the group stage, I think it's...
That's a catastrophe.
It is a catastrophe. I think there's no excuse for it.
Well, guys, after the group, round of 16, possible matchups against Uruguay and Egypt.
Assuming they advance.
I mean, on paper, we're looking at those matchups. Quarterfinals, looking at a possibility of France or Argentina. Could see Argentina, like Nelson mentioned, in the finals as well. Obviously, a lot depends on if Portugal finishes first or second, where everybody else finishes first or second. The one thing I can guarantee is that we're pretty damn excited for the scene to get started for us on Friday.
Yeah.
And
I've already been watching friendlies like crazy. Half asleep, though. Just getting ready, training myself again. I'm going to get it early Saturday morning.
Sem cuecas.
Sem cuecas, sem camisa.
Incluir. Diretos, fa.
Well, boys, I'll leave you with this question here. What if we do it? I'll just leave it there.
Vou perder o trabalho e vamos oferecer. Vai ser o diabo.
Vai ser
muito perigoso. Cidades de Sacramento, cuidado.
What if we did it?
Well, yeah, look the hell out for James. Look the hell out. I mean, that just would be ultimate scoreboard to every naysayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, it would just be like all
you congregate here in Sacramento. We'd have to fight, you know.
We would figure out a way.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I mean, yeah, it'd be a huge middle finger to all the naysayers. That's not my driving force for wanting to win this thing, obviously. But
no,
I just think
of how
but I mean,
you want our cake and eat it too.
I just think of how like the pure joy that 2 years ago brought me, man. I mean, I walked around with the biggest smile on my face for like, I mean, I don't even, I mean, it still hasn't left. Almost,
that summer,
you know,
summer, we get one of the best summers ever.
Oh my God, man. And I mean, if they were to win, because I mean, it's the first time, you know, obviously it'd be their first one. It would be incredible, man. I can't even put into words how, I don't know. We'll just have to see in mid-July what that feeling's like.
We'll find out. We'll find out July 15th. You know, I think that's a good way to end it, boys. Can't thank you guys for coming by the studio and putting this together. I think as a whole, we're very much looking forward to this tournament, and we can't wait to see what this team does. So to Steve, to James, and to Nelson, Forza boys. Love you guys, and we've been pals since we were little guys, and To be able to do this with you guys is a lot of fun, and I hope you guys enjoyed your time here.
Absolutely, brother.
Thanks, Danny.
And my thanks again to my buddies Steve Fajeda, James Faria, and Nelson Azevedo. Honestly, three of the best friends a guy could ever ask for, and I really appreciate them making some time to sit down and record this World Cup preview, this roundtable, if you will. You know, it was a lot of fun. I hope you guys could hear the amount of fun that we were having. And how about that singing at the end, huh? Huh? We got voices like angels, like a mixture of Fergie and Jesus. So we have my thanks again to those three gentlemen. Again, just best friends for life, and I really appreciate them coming by. All right, to the Spain game, to the match, depending on where you're at, it's a match. My expectation is I don't think either team is going to do anything drastic nor foolish that will have them in a hole heading into the second game. I think this game will be a draw, whether it be 0-0, 1-1. I think obviously if whoever gets that first goal is probably going to sit on it like crazy and try to play defensive the rest of the way. I can see them after maybe a half of play, if it's still 0-0, having almost a gentleman's agreement to just head into the second match against Morocco and Iran respectively, to see what they can do with a quote unquote weaker opponent. But if you're asking me for an actual prediction, I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw with a goal by Andres Silva, as he will be in my starting 11 for the Spain game. My starting 11 would be Rui Patrice in goal, with Cedric Suárez at right fullback, Rafael Guerreiro at left fullback. My center backs would be Pep and José Font. William Carvalho manning the midfield on the defensive end. I'm going to go with old reliable here, with João Moutinho playing in the middle for this match specifically. I think it'll be Bernard Silva and João Mário on the wings, with André Silva and, of course, o capitão, Cristiano Ronaldo, playing up top with André Silva. As much as I would love Guedes, and as much as I would love Bruno Fernandes, starting off with a lot of firepower, I think experience prevails, especially in this game, in this match, where I think a result, whether it be 3 points or 1 point, is an absolute must, so that you don't start off in a hole, considering the unpredictability of the next two games. I mean, teams crash out all the time, as we talked about in the roundtable. Spain crashed out 4 years ago, so obviously you don't want to be the team that crashes out. You don't want to be the team that does anything foolish in the first match, because while you cannot win the group in the first game, you could possibly be out of it and put yourself in a hole that becomes much more difficult to get out of with two games remaining in the group. Reach out to us on social media. You can like our Facebook page, facebook.com/CelesteSoundPod. Follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at CelesteSoundPod. Email us, CelesteSoundPod@gmail.com. I've been enjoying a lot of interaction with all of you guys in these first few weeks of the podcast. You guys have been absolutely awesome, and the support has been absolutely tremendous, and I just cannot wait. We are just days away here, as of this recording, to the matchup and to the World Cup, and it's just, it's exciting times for us fans of the Selecion and soccer fans and football fans all over the world as well. So that will do it for us on episode 5. My thanks again to my good friends Nelson Azevedo, James Faria, and Steve Ferreira for joining me on episode 5. Guys, the World Cup is just days away. Portugal-Spain is just days away. And I just cannot wait for Friday, June 15th. And I know all of you out there cannot either. My name is Danny Pinto. Thank you so much for listening to episode 5 of the Seleção Podcast. Muito obrigado, grande abraço, and Força Portugal!